Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is. We're out at Buffalo Wild Wings out Willowbrook Way.
That's right.
17195 Tom Ball Parkway. Come on through and hang out with us. Scarlett will take care of you. She's been doing it for a minute. Same place, same time, 11 years. Going on 11 years here. So she'll take care of you. We got the Texans cheerleaders showing up at some point in time today. They usually a little late, ain't they?
They take the time, man. They got stops, I believe.
Yeah, they take the time. Yeah, boy, I there was a couple of them at the couple of the cheerleaders at the pep rally we had yesterday, and they mentioned about how many different stops they have. They didn't give a number, but just how many different stops they have Thursday and Friday leading up to a playoff game. Boy, everybody gets real popular when them playoffs come around. So, but the Texas cheerleaders will slide through here in a couple segments, I suppose. I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow – Football Friday, big shout-out to our Houston area Ford dealers, Tom Ball Ford. Big shout-out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for our Football Fridays. We'll be at Boomer Jacks in Katy if you want to come by and hang out off Grand West Boulevard in Katy. Come by and hang out with us. Just real quick, I don't want to talk college football, but I do want to give a little love in Dirty's Daily's sponsor today, the College Football Playoff, Ron. College football playoff, give them a little love, man. I typically pile on the NCAA with all these different bonehead moves they make or the lack thereof. And college football playoffs, man, they've given us three teams that have never won a championship before and one that hadn't won one since 2021. Mm. Although I did read earlier, somebody printed that Ole Miss won in 1953 or something. I didn't know that. But I think three of them have not won a championship, and Miami hasn't won one since 2001. So there's a potential, it's highly likely, that we will crown a championship team with their first championship crown. So big shout out to the college football playoffs. It's always good when you get it right. When you get 12 in, Ron, it's hard not to get it right.
Like at that point, right, like
whatever.
At that point, man, hey, so, you know, the best team generally is going to win like that, at least.
Yeah.
At least.
Well, even if the best team doesn't win, when you get down to the final four,
you'll have a chance to compete. The best teams will have a chance to compete.
You have been entertained, and we got a big game tonight. Buffalo Wild Wings, a great place to watch that game. We got the Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss, Miami. You got a little old school power matched up with some new school speed, if you will. Not minimizing what Ole Miss does, they got some power too. Obviously, handling Georgia the way they did last week, but. A lot of speed, a lot of off-script, off-schedule on that Ole Miss side of it. And then Miami with a little bit more of a power play there. That's going to be a great matchup. We just heard from C.J. Stroud, also heard from D'Amico Ryans a little earlier in the show here. I do want to remind everybody the Odyssey app is out there, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you go. Stream us wherever you go. Our podcasts are all there. Our segments are all podcasted. You can listen to our shows. There's a rewind feature, all kind of stuff. Right now, you can listen to D'Amico Ryans, or you can listen to C.J. Stroud, who was just at the podium last segment. Ron, anything from C.J. Stroud that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, like he just seems to be dead focused on, hey, we just got to win. We got to win. It doesn't seem, and it seems like he's following his head coach. And the thought process doesn't really matter how it looks. The objective of the playoffs, we get it. It's just to win. That seems to be the laser focus that they're having, and we kind of heard that from two of the leaders, obviously D'Amico and CJ. Just it doesn't matter. Whatever it has to take, whatever we got to do to win the game, and that kind of stuck out to me overall. with what he was saying. And obviously, clearly, as he was talking, his understanding of the strength of their defense and having to avoid and do things to avoid that defensive line and that pressure to get to him. So, yeah, man, they seem to be in one accord, him and D'Amico, the two of the biggest leaders on this team, and how they're going about their business against Pittsburgh.
Well, I do think there's something there because I agree with you. I think there's a couple of things before what they either one of them said is their tone, you know, with the media this time of year. And the reality of it is there's some serious value in the simple fact that these two together have prepared for multiple playoff games over the last 2 years.
Four. I mean,
four playoff games, two of which they won, two of which were at home. They still got to go on the road and win a playoff game. This is a perfect opportunity to do that. But I think there's a level of confidence there of like, hey, we've done this before. It's not our first rodeo. We've prepared for win or go home moments multiple times, four over the last 2 years. We're used to this. We know what we're up to. Won't be anything special in my preparation. No special sauce. Just keep going on the way that you've gone on all year long. I think there's a couple of things for me. Still interesting, the responses about Nick Caley. What do you like about Nick Caley? What have you grown to like about Nick Caley? Oh, his ability to block out the noise. Really, your OC? That's what we're gonna ride with. Somehow took a shot at the Microwave Society. Everybody wants success right now. So you think he's heard that a time or two?
Yeah.
You know the response on Nick Caley, and then of course personally. As I've said, you know, the using his legs, once again, asked about using his legs in playoff games. He's had, I think Landry said, 40 yards rushing or something. And he almost laughs at the thought of using his legs.
Yeah.
Is it me? Because I've been known to do this. But is it me in like my conditioned hearing of like how annoyed I am with the questions and answers about his legs? Or was it more of a – was him and D'Amico like given more – like trying to give real answers to using his legs, and now it's almost like nah, we just want to stay in the pocket. Or I'm not worried about my legs. Has it shifted as much as I feel like it shifted?
Well, I think it starts with how you feel about it to begin with, right?
Sure, absolutely. So like,
So that the feel of it is like, what are we talking about bothering that thing?
Like, and who gives a rip what CJ Stroud's top speed is in a practice or a game? And I think he's been asked about his off season.
And talked about it, he's worked about it. I think it probably comes with how you feel about it to begin with.
And
it does sound like they've kind of slowed that down and brushed that down to like, yeah, man, you know, we'll take it if it's there.
Well, there is nothing about C.J. Stroud. I mean, because look, when C.J.'s – if you really think about it, like when C.J.'s using his legs, this offense, there's not one play that's been designed for C.J. Stroud to use his legs. And so when he's using his legs, that's because something ain't working, something's broke down, protection, the route, something's broke. So why in the world would anybody want to encourage or think that that's a good thing? I mean, it's – you know, and by the way, this quarterback is never going to plan on using him. If he goes into a game and he gets pressured and he has to run, it wasn't by plan. It was a response to something negative. So, that was interesting. We'll talk a little bit later about where I think I have shifted my belief on that a bit. But I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. Again, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings up Willowbrook Way. So come on through and hang out with us. There was one surprising, if you will, I think, firing. The most recent one, Mike McDaniel in Miami with the Dolphins. I think it was surprising due to the time of which it happened. Obviously, it didn't surprise Tyler. I mean, Tyler called
Tyler held on to it.
It didn't surprise him.
But I'm
going to tell you, man, Mike McDaniel is out in Miami. There's a couple of plays off of this. Number one, I want to go with the obvious, Ron. Does this mean that John Harbaugh is heading south?
Somebody.
One that's newly available is John Harbaugh.
You would think that maybe it's Harbaugh because that just happened, but you would think they got some sort of an indication that somebody that they want as an upgrade over Mike McDaniel is available and they have made the move. Because the reason why it's so surprising is Monday Mike McDaniel went to the media at the end of the year talking about he's under the impression he's going to be the one helping select the general manager.
Right.
That is a huge swing to your ass is out. on Thursday, a couple of days later. So yeah, something or someone has come potentially available to them. And, I mean, it smells like Harbaugh. The only thing is the there seems to be other situations that seem like they would be better if you're 63 years old and you've been coaching for 18 straight years.
Yeah.
And you want to win right away, because that doesn't feel like a win right away type of spot where you have a lot of money tied in to a quarterback that I would think you want to move past on an 11th pick. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't – CJ just spoke about the microwave society. Look, with Ben Johnson doing what he's doing, Mike Vrabel's doing what he's doing. Who else you got out there, first-year coach, that's turned this thing around? We ain't even talking about the second-year, third-year guy. Liam Cohen's another first-year guy. With those guys winning in a big way, Sean Payton has won quickly in a big way. Obviously, D'Amico Ryan's won quickly in a big way. I don't know that they don't think that would be a quick way to turn this thing around. But I do think it's the most stable hire that's out there. I don't think there's any coincidence that Mike McDaniel had a job yesterday. There was a report that the Miami Dolphins had spoke to John Harbaugh, or were at least interested in John Harbaugh. I don't think it's any coincidence that all of a sudden Mike McDaniel's out today, and as soon as Harbaugh's on the market and reportedly linked to the Dolphins. So we'll see. The other part of that is this, Ron. You look across – we talked a lot last year when the Texans decided to fire Bobby Slowick. And we talked a lot about just the offensive coordinators that are or aren't or weren't available, right? The one good thing that I think Miami could have done smart here is that they held on to the coach they had until they knew exactly who they wanted, and it was an upgrade, and then they fired their guy. They didn't fire their guy not knowing who the hell they were going to hire, right? Last year, I don't know that last year when the Texans fired Bobby Slowick was a great year to fire an offensive coordinator.
No.
I don't know if it was a great year to be in the market for offensive coordinator. And I think a lot of people out here push back on us of like, well, what'd you want them to do? Well, look, here's the deal. This is the difference, right? This cycle's offensive coordinators versus last year's are exactly what I'm talking about, right? When you look at the offensive coordinators that are there, Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll, Cliff Kingsbury, Todd Monken, Mike Kafka, Davis Webb, Kevin Stefanski. Like, there are some pretty good offensive coordinators that are former
– experience calling plays.
Yeah.
Had some success.
Former head coaches, as well as play callers that are just on the come-up kind of deal, versus last year, would you have Chip Kelly and a bunch of others?
One of them Kubiaks.
Yeah, Clint. That's right. Clint Kubiak went to Seattle.
Well,
right. You missed on him, or maybe you didn't miss. Maybe that just wasn't the option you wanted to go. I've already heard some noise on social media. You think there's any chance that the Texans are interested in any of these guys, or you think they stand pat with what they've got?
Well, I don't think there's a chance in hell they move off of Nick Caley because of who I would think is behind getting Nick Caley here, and. I don't think they have the balls to go, oh, we're 12-5 and got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
No matter what this offense looked like. Because, to be honest, if you look at it, this offense and the way it's performed, the way the quarterback has performed and kind of taken even steps back, I think it is definitely up for an evaluation to see if you can improve that position.
Yeah.
I think it definitely should be. This isn't just a – all right, hey man, we've been doing pretty good. That we don't need to even look at improving that. But it's a tough one. I don't think there's a chance in hell if they change it. But boy, they better be right about the growth of Nick Caley, because there are a lot of guys out there that I think a lot of people in the fan base would look at, and you read some of those names that would be viewed as potential upgrades that you would have more confidence in working with C.J. Stroud, who you're probably about to pay big money with. That is something you look at when you potentially – because as we've seen, as you just talked about, you don't always have this opportunity with offensive guys. Like right now, if you tell me, would you look at Cliff? And you know I'm not a huge Cliff head coaching fan, but I'd have fired Nick Caley yesterday for Cliff Kingsbury. I'd have fired him yesterday for Brian Daboll. Like those guys, I would immediately,
yeah,
like, you know, roll in. Mike McDaniel, 3 days ago, would immediately bring in. But I know they're not going to do that, but they better be right about his ability to grow of growth with this offense.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you that I just don't – I think this is a Nick Caserio hire. I think Nick's been waiting for years for this to happen, and I think it's – I think
he's 12-5 in the playoffs.
Yeah, and now you're in the playoffs. You have advanced, gotten better in the regular season with that move, even though it's not because of that move, but you did get better having made that move. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think they stand – Pat, hey, can I be honest with y'all about something, boys?
Sure.
This may one of the most annoying things in my world is the Stanley Cup, and I ain't talking
NHL?
About
NHL.
I ain't talking about hockey neither.
Oh, okay. Some people just don't like Canada, man. That's
I got a Stanley in my backpack right now, but go ahead.
I mean, I'm not a Stanley guy. My wife's a Stanley girl, and she's got several.
These
and
are those
big,
cups?
And big bastards are all over the house.
Yeah.
I mean, every cup holder.
She got good colors?
I mean, I get in the car today, and I just try to reach across to the other seat over there, and I knock a cup over into the passenger seat. I mean, big cup holders, bigger than the console. I turn around to look in the back seat and reach from the back seat, and the back cup holders have one in it. Every time I turn around, there's one laying on the floor somewhere on the couch, or I'm trying to fit it into the dishwasher. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not proud of it.
What's your problem with Stanley's? Do you have an issue with Yetis?
Well,
or?
One, there's no reason to have a cup that big. Zero reason. To
oh,
have
they
a
got
cup
they got different sizes.
Holds
no,
more liquid.
I'm talking about the big dude with the handle with the big straw that sticks up an extra 2-3 inches. Yeah, I'm talking about that big one. We got about 5 of them floating around the house. It's just unnecessary.
Less time right filling that thing
I mean,
up,
see,
man.
If you put that right there, I would knock it over, and it would annoy the hell. I may not ever say anything, but it would annoy the hell out of me.
Stanley, baby. Sounds
I like mean, I cannot be the only. I can't be the only man out here who is completely annoyed with the size of his wife's cups, and I'm talking about Stanley cups. I can't be the only guy.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Maybe they are 713-572-4610.
I can't be.
You annoyed by the size of your wife's cups.
I know that. I know there's a lot of men out there whose wives carry around them big-ass Stanley cups for no reason. They don't look at them and go, come on, man. I mean, just get you a styrofoam cup and let's bang this out and go. I know I'm not the only one.
I don't
Tyler,
know.
What, you think I'm the only one, too?
I got a Stanley.
I mean,
cup.
I ain't with you. I don't mind them. I got a bunch of Yetis, Stanleys,
Yetis,
all them
say,
things.
Yeah, I got them. Someone text in. They got you. I'm with you, Clint. Preach.
I'm telling you. I'm
very
even Yeti.
Thing of you to be annoyed with.
Well, even a Yeti. Even a Yeti. If I leave my own Yeti in the car and I get in there and it's in my way, I'm annoyed with it. But typically, it's my wife, Stanley. And really, it's my wife, Stanley, because it's got that big-ass handle on it and it don't fit in the cup holders.
Yeah. Those big ones, because all my kids got them. My kids take them to school.
I can appreciate the big gulp back in the day was a thing. Now that stop and go, now that was a thing. But we didn't
styrofoam.
We didn't leave them in cup holders. My dad had a green.
Oh, he already kept going with
green big gulp.
Oh, one, yeah.
But he didn't leave it in the cup holders, and I wasn't driving at the time, so I didn't give a damn. I'm gonna tell you, I get downright mad over a damn cup. I'm not proud of it, but I do. I gotta be honest.
Mad. Is she aware of this?
Oh yeah. I mean,
she's just doing it on purpose.
Look here, you don't think she heard this right here? Every time I sit one down and I get one out of the car,
you make sure it's no
dog, man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she hears
it's
it every
an
time.
Odd thing, man. That is a tough thing to be upset about.
I got to be better. You're right. I got to be better. I'm trying.
Well, I mean, you can't control what pisses you off.
Sure.
Speaking of pissed off, one of Tyler's old favorites. You talked about yesterday, boy, Lane Kiffin has to be one of the most hated guys. Wait till you hear Jimbo Fisher got in front of a camera and got on a mic and just cut loose on Lane Kiffin. We got to let you hear.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hear that coming up next.
Clown Axe.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as The Drive is live on a Thirsty Thursday. As the big voice man said, we're at the Willowbrook location and letting you know, if you're on the way in here or you're in the building and you have not gotten a ticket, you have not gotten a ticket for our raffle, we are going to hook somebody up with our first prize, an autographed football by Jaden Higgins. Our first prize, get your ticket in our raffle box. We will be doing that as soon as this segment ends. As soon as this segment ends, we will find out who will be our first winner. So go ahead and put one in. Later on in the 5 o'clock hour, we've got an autographed helmet, Stafford's own, Jalen Petrie. You could win that game size helmet autographed by Jalen Petrie coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is get a ticket, put it in our raffle box, and you have a chance to be a winner. A lot of people had some thoughts on the cup. A lot of people had some thoughts on the old Stanley Cup that
I guarantee they did.
Some good, some with you. Pick your battles, LOL, Clint. Someone said, my wife does the same damn thing, and now she's teaching my daughter how to be the same kind of woman.
My daughter's got two as well.
You're right, Clint. My wife has like six of these cups, and they don't fit in the cabinets.
That's a good point. They don't fit in the cabinets. They don't fit in the cup holders. They don't fit in no dishwasher. Yeah. I mean – And they ain't that damn cool. That's the thing.
I mean, yeah, I enjoy them. They're not bad. Someone texted in my favorite. The big Stanley Cups are for women. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like them.
Come to think about it, I think Ron's the first man I've seen with one.
Well, I guess.
I have
seen
too.
A lot of,
but
gentlemen.
That is not the big handle one though.
That's not a big handle one.
You got the old upgraded expensive version of the old green Gatorade squeezy that everybody used to carry around.
Yeah, I think any color, any size.
Yeah,
handle Yeti Stanley.
I don't know
whatever.
I don't think
male or women.
I've not seen a man carrying around the big Stanley.
Well, I don't think you're out looking for him.
I'm not because they annoy me, so I don't want to see
him. Stanley with a Stanley, yeah.
Tyler, you got a big handle Stanley?
I got a couple of them, yeah.
The Stanley or the Yeti?
Both. I'm versatile. Yeti, yeah, Stanley, tiny beers, whatever.
Yeah, I got Yeti too.
Tiny beers, whatever.
Yeah. See, Tyler, he wouldn't be saying that like, hey, let's go out on the river and fill that bad boy up with about three Coors
Yeti. Yeti, then, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Then, I'd want me a Yeti if that was the case. You are correct. You are correct.
That big old thing, because I'm telling you.
It's the cup holder for me. Right? It's the cup holder.
I've done that a lot. I have
I have to.
I have done that a lot. Cornhole tournaments I go to. Shout out to the folks, and I will bring one of them big boys over there and drink out of that thing. All right, Clint, we got to get to this. Tyler, your old dude, Jimbo Fisher. I don't know if this is – he's trying to make a run to coaching again. I don't know what Jimbo what Jimbo's thinking, but
selling
Clint
hard.
Brought it up yesterday talking about Lane Kiffin's got to be the most disliked guy in college football. He's got multiple things going. He's got the thing with the kid at Washington, and now he's also got the thing with him going back and forth each round that Ole Miss makes it about guys who can coach and who cannot coach at Ole Miss during these playoff games. Here is Jimbo Fisher. He was on SEC Network, and, I mean, I forgot who else was on the set. But whoever the other guys on the set, Clint, they all laid out. You can see Jimbo needed to get this off his chest. Here's Jimbo Fisher on Lane Kiffin.
No, it's selfish. That's what it is. It's stupid. And because here's why I say that. He wanted a coach and thought he didn't get his way. So everybody get on the plane with me. You don't have a job. All right? And he makes them all go. Then he gets down there and takes a PR hit because it looks bad that you really don't care about the kids. Then he says, okay, you can go back. Mm. But here's where he screwed up.
He thought they were going to lose.
He thought they were going to lose to Georgia.
Exactly.
And then the portal thing was all over with, and it was going to be all over with. And he said, okay, I'll look like a hero. Yeah. Now he's got egg on his face because the real Lane came back out. You know what I'm saying? And he's, and if those guys were allowed to coach the first game, they should be allowed to coach the fourth. Because those guys are doing, those kids are doing something.
Yeah.
That you get one time in your life to ever do.
Literally.
That team. And those guys, one time. And as a coach, listen, I know I've left a job. I get that. But if you took them on and said they're never coming back, that's fine. You set the rules of the game. You don't change the rules in the middle of the game. And as a coach, it's hurting the kids and it pisses me off.
Pisses him straight off.
Hey.
Hey, you ain't lying, Clint. They can't stand his ass. Did you hear Tyler? He said, yeah, and that's when the, and you know when soon as Jimbo got to talking that fast, when I watched it, I said, let's hopefully he gets all these words out.
Clown.
Jimbo is
ready. Somebody was in his ear going, you got a minute. You got 1 minute.
No, they wasn't. That's just Jimbo. He got pissed off.
Read it off sliced
Jimbo,
bread.
Hey, he said, and you see what happened, Tyler? The real lane came out, see? That
showed you the true colors right there, see?
He said, he can't, they cannot stand Lane's ass.
Now, over here, I got an 84 Honda you're going to want to take a look at.
And that dismount up, and it pisses me off.
Clown axe.
Hey, real quick. Hey, you think Lane's regretting this decision at all?
Hell no.
Don't think so about staying at Ole Miss?
Nope. Nope. I think he blames it on the AD. I think anything that's going on, I think he blames on the AD. I think he wanted to stay. He wanted to coach. The AD said, no, thank you. I got to live in this city, and your ass is up out of here going to LSU. And then I think they got in a room and said, okay, what is our best bet? Well, you need to keep the offensive play caller. Call him and see if he'll at least stay. Somebody that like get him on board, make him ask Lane, hey, Lane, I'd like to go back and help these boys, and do you mind if I go? And I guarantee that's how it worked. I don't think he feels bad. He's making more money. He's gonna have Ole Miss got a chance to win a championship right now. LSU's gonna have a chance to win several of them.
Yeah, but don't you think he had a chance to win several of them at Ole Miss?
No.
You don't think Lane had a chance to win? Because from what I heard, Ole Miss was gonna try to pay him, was gonna match. What LSU was paying. I don't know if they had the complete resources, but they had good enough resources. I mean, what was Lane calling himself? The Portal King or something like that? And he was getting dudes. Like, that's a big reason of why Ole Miss is right here. I don't know, boy. I don't know if he's thinking to himself, like, man, that's a job I would have quit. Not fired, probably. More than likely, I would have quit because they'd be happy with me. And damn, I didn't think these dudes was going to actually win these games. And look at them. They are winning this, and they winning without me. I mean, so I don't know, man. He was going to make some cash, like be down there, be comfortable. Like, he knows it. He watched Brian Kelly. Like, I mean, obviously he has confidence in himself, but this can get fired at LSU real quick if he just does what he has traditionally done at Ole Miss, he'll get fired. At LSU, like, I mean, like this year.
Well, if he does, I know what you mean. You mean if his results are what he did at – yeah, no, I agree.
Consistently of his time.
It takes you 6 years to compete for a title, I would say that'll get you fired at LSU. The thing is, if Lane does at LSU what he did at Ole Miss, the players are going to be significantly better year in, year out, and I think he's going to compete and win national championships.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think he's got the ability to compete for championships at LSU, but it just feels like to me right now in this kind of era of college football, I feel like Lane's going to get players wherever Lane is. Like, I mean, going to get great players. Like, He's not in Louisiana, but Mississippi's a pretty good state that he's getting a lot of guys from. And the portal, like it feels like Lane at Mississippi or at LSU is going to get good enough players year in and year out to compete. It's just now he's at a place where the damn expectations are way higher than they.
I think it's significantly easier, even if it's a level playing field and you got the same amount of money at both places. I think it's significantly easier to convince people, 18 to 23 year olds, to, hey man, come to Baton Rouge in Oxford, Mississippi. Absolutely.
I like Oxford.
I mean, I don't dislike either one of them, but I just think
I don't love Oxford, but I like it. It's a good time.
I had some good times there. I tell you what, Baton Rouge. Whew.
There once. All right, coming up as we continue, we got to look at something that hopefully, now that we know, we heard from the player himself, will change and hopefully look different from what we saw in the final game for the Texans to this game. And Dan Orlowski. Oh, Dan. I think it got away from Dan, and he started talking about Arch Manning, and it just got completely away from Dan. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling him to...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Congratulations to our first winner. We still have prizes for you to win coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Stafford High School Zone. Jalen Petrie got an autographed helmet from him that you have a chance to win. I saw some people just jump in and grab themselves a raffle ticket to get in. We'll be doing that in the 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win. And be our second winner today on this Thirsty Thursday. Again, if you're trying to come out with us, we're here till 6 o'clock. People getting off work around this time, come on out. It's a party that's being had here. We got some fired up people out here and having a good time enjoying some good beer. Shout out to Bud Light. We appreciate you. And to Buffalo Wild Wings. We believe the Texas cheerleaders are looking to make their way here. We'll see what time they get here as we're approaching 5 o'clock, but a lot going on out here at the Willowbrook location here on a Thirsty Thursday. Remember, come out with us tomorrow, Football Friday, as we continue to get you ready for this playoff game. We'll be out at Boomer Jacks and Katy, so come hang out with us and have a little fun, Boomer Jack. Shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors and our Houston Ford dealers as well. Tom Ball Ford as well. All right, Clint, it is we'll give you the full injury report here coming up in just a bit. Kamari Lassiter did not practice today, but in a little media scrum today, he went ahead and informed everyone that he is playing. He is playing, and he also said, I didn't even need the rest, and he said he is playing, so he spoke to media himself that he is going to be able to go, and they're just resting him for precaution. But they probably had to hold his ass off the field if he's out there talking about I didn't even need the rest. So he is going to be out there, Clint. I think that is a large – obviously it's a large thing because, you know, between him and Tremont Smith, you'd rather have a guy who's played at a Pro Bowl level this year. But he's quickly becoming really high on the list of most important players on this team, not only just because of his skills as a corner, but he is – you've said this about him. He is absolutely a tone setter for this team. And I've gone back and rewatched that first half where they had the one defense out there for the most part. And, listen, they got some guys. Aziz is somebody who shows a lot of physicality, will – he almost killed a guy in the game. But Kamari is like – you kind of just see a little bit of a difference to me in the secondary. A little bit of a difference, just the physicality wasn't there as much because it like you watch him, Clint, it's hard not to just like feel like you got to try to match that intensity that he is bringing to the table. And he does it every single game out. And I think I saw a little bit of that missing in the first half, and it'll be big for them to have that. And I'm certain it ratches up on a playoff game.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that you miss Kamari Lassiter in he is a tone setter. He's the thermostat in the room. You want people hype, he's going to get them hype. You want to force a practice to be a physical practice, let him loose, right? Let him off the leash and let him go.
Yeah.
Look, to your point, I told Henry Toa Toa this. I think they all swarm. You know, everybody at the second and third level plays downhill, with the exception of maybe Stingley. The two people this season that jump off the screen more to me than anybody is Henry Toa Toa and Kamari Lassiter. I mean, those two – I mean, everybody plays downhill. I'm not minimizing anything that anybody else does. You just mentioned disease. You mentioned, you know, and there's obviously some Petrie's in there. But when every single game you turn on the film, Henry Toa Toa and Kamari Lassiter, it stands out brighter than day that they are the most aggressive, downhill, physical human beings on this defense. And Kamari, I think if you went down a list, because on top of being exactly like embodying what D'Amico Ryans wants his team to look like, on top of that, he's also the kind of dude, you know, off the field and mentally that you want this team to look like and this roster to look like. If you made a list of D'Amico Ryans players, the guys that he wants his team to image, mirror image. I think Will Anderson's at the top.
Absolutely.
But I think Kamari Lassiter's too. I think Aziz.
He really
is
loves
three.
Aziz.
Yeah, no, he loves Aziz. But I'm talking. Yeah. You're right. You're right. It may be. But you got Will. You got Aziz. You got three. Kamari. I think there's a love for Henry Toa Toa there. I do think that Daniil fits in there at some point in time.
Petrie, like you said, those three though.
Yeah, man. But Lassiter's just one of them top dogs, and I just think he takes the. I guarantee you, he takes the locker room. Before a game, before you take the field, the tunnel before a game, before you take the field, he makes that environment.
Well, you watch him, it looks like, man, I got to pick it up.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know
no
what I mean? I got to pick it up, and that's a big difference.
It's real. It's authentic. You know what I mean? It's not like when him getting up and beating on his own head. Like, I don't think that's for show. Like, that's just what, like, he is that amped up. Aziz, a lot of the stuff Aziz does, like, it's so authentic that – people from anywhere, any age, relate to it and respond to it in a positive way.
Yeah. So yeah, not just his play on the field, but all of the other stuff. All right, Clint. Dan Orlovsky, he was on Get Up today on ESPN, and they got to talking about Arch Manning, and what was it? Jordan Rogers. What's Aaron's brother's name?
Jordan. Yeah.
Jordan Rogers. Mm-hmm. Jordan's left eye had a twitch when he came with this take. They were talking about Tyler's favorite, Arch Manning. Listen to Dan's assessment of Arch Manning at the draft.
And the pick would already be made. The Las Vegas Raiders would have no chance of passing on him. They would have to make the pick. One, he's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's an unbelievable athlete. I think in the Michigan game, he ran at like 21 miles per hour, which is absurd. He's only gotten better. He's very strong-armed. He's unbelievably athletic. He's really smart. He's getting trained the right way. He's wired the right way. He's been knocked down and picked himself back up. I think he's an ultra-competitive young man. It would not even be close. He would be already be selected as the number one pick.
That's bold.
That is. What I mean,
well, put him in the Hall of Fame already.
The bold part is his reasoning. You know, I don't doubt that two things. I don't doubt. I'm not saying it would happen. I'm just saying I can somewhat entertain the conversation.
I'm not saying he's way off on the reasoning.
No, I am.
I'm saying not. Let me try that again. I'm not saying he's way off on the reasoning. What I'm saying is the reasons he's giving. Yes, he is athletic, more athletic. Yes, he has been raised the right way. Many of those things are true, but that still doesn't mean. Yeah, man, he's going to be the no doubt. Wouldn't it be a question number one pick?
I don't doubt that Brady and the Raiders or whoever else is up there in the top of the draft, I don't doubt that they would say, we can't pass on an opportunity to take a Manning. I don't doubt that they would say, he's tougher than nails, he's a great leader. I don't doubt that they would say, that name and a bad quarterback draft. This is a bad quarterback draft. It's not an elite quarterback draft. It's not a deep quarterback draft. It's not a top heavy quarterback draft. It's not like you have to do and have a highlight reel that's ridiculous to tangibly be better than Mendoza, right? There's no superpower with Mendoza. Really, I like Ty Simpson. I think he's going to be a good pro, but there's nothing superpower about Ty Simpson. I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched Dante Moore enough. I watched him the other day in that one game where they beat Tech, and I didn't see a superpower, right, with him. And so is there a world where a Manning that doesn't deserve to be the number one overall pick jumps in and is the number one overall pick because his name and the market?
That sounds like the story of what Arch has been the last couple of years.
Correct. Right? is there a world where that could happen? Absolutely, 100%. That is, I mean, it's monkey see, monkey do, scared to pass on him because if they passed on a Manning and he went at the bottom of the first round and he went out there and played well, I mean, Las Vegas would never live it down. So is there a world? Yes. I just wholeheartedly disagree with
I mean,
I just
the,
wholeheartedly
the
disagree.
The level of confidence that he is saying
he said super athletic.
But the level of confidence that he's saying, I mean, they wouldn't have a choice.
What'd he say?
He said
super strong arm. I just disagree with all of that.
Because I think the
Michigan game was impressive, but
I know that was Jordan Rogers who chimed in with
no way. Is that what he said?
He said there's no way.
I would have listened, and if he'd have said, "Yeah, it's a Manning and it's a bad quarterback draft," I'd been like, "Oh, okay." I disagree, but I don't. But going into the whole spiel and trying to talk his way through those guys being better and him being better than the others and being the number one overall, that he lost me.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I like Dan. I enjoy Dan. I think he's really good at this. And I'm not even gonna just flat accuse him of this, but when hearing that. It feels like Tyler. He was sitting around like, I gotta come up with something.
What's my hot take gonna be today?
Like I gotta come up with something because that's beyond aggressive. There's nothing about that.
All my Arch hate aside, it's like, beyond
like just it's not even it's not even a could be boy. It's hey, no question, no chance the Raiders could pass up on him. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you updated on the injury report for both the Texans and the Steelers. We'll look at tonight's big, big game for the right to go play for a national championship between Ole Miss and Miami. A lot to get to around on Astros making some moves. We'll do that as we continue right here live on The Drive.